WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Verdict reached in the Sean Combs trial. The hip-hop mogul found not guilty of the two most serious charges against him, racketeering and sex trafficking. The jury, however, did find him guilty of transportation to engage in prostitution. But ABC legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer says the decision is a big win for Sean Combs.
I'm not even sure if I would say there would be an appeal, because for Sean Combs and his defense team, this is a massive win. Three of the counts that had a life sentence possibility are gone. When it comes to transportation to engage in prostitution, the minimum is nothing. There's a theoretical possibility that he walks out on probation. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No, but the max is 10 years.
Combs nodding his head and looking back at his family in the courtroom. They have been there for the trial. The judge telling the jury they're free to speak about it once they are released. Again, Sean Combs found not guilty of sex trafficking and racketeering. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. It's 126 years old, and lawmakers and leaders have been advocating for its closure for years. Yesterday, Mark Bourne, the co-chair of the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee, said that as part of the discussion on the state budget, the groundwork is being laid to close Green Bay Correctional Institution.
But I think it's important to note that we're investing across the entire state system, including moving forward plans in the Department of Corrections to make sure that we right size and innovate in that area for the future, and also make sure that we close Green Bay Correctional by 2029.
Meanwhile, Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce says there are no guarantees.
Republicans just threw it right in the garbage and are now doing this trick again to put it in this very fancy lockbox where it's never going to happen. It is a phantom. It's a total mirage. There's nothing that we're doing in this budget that's going to allow Green Bay to be closed.
Green Bay Correctional Institution opened its doors in 1898. In September, the Oshkosh Common Council voted to increase the fines for illegal fireworks within the city. As we get closer to the 4th of July holiday and the summer festivities, the Oshkosh Police Department is reminding residents that exploding fireworks like firecrackers and those that leave the ground like bottle rockets are illegal within city limits and can result in fines of up to $1,000. In a press release, the Oshkosh Police Department said fireworks may be enjoyable, but they can also cause distress to many of our community, especially those with PTSD or noise sensitivities. OPD will be monitoring firework retailers and will respond to complaints to enforce the new ordinance and fines. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
Let's play two. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out last night in New York, so the two teams playing a doubleheader today at 16-9. Milwaukee, the hottest team in the National League for the month of June. I asked Sal Frelick, does he feel confident about the crew right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we kind of came together almost about a month and a half ago now, and I think we kind of identified we maybe weren't playing our culture, our brand of baseball, and we fixed that pretty quickly, and good things started to happen. So as long as we can control that, I think we'll be in a good spot.
NBA, the Bucks land Pacers center Miles Turner in free agency, but release Damian Lillard. They'll pay Lillard $22.5 million per year for the next 5 years. So what does Giannis think?
Sources that relate to me that Giannis Antetokounmpo is not pleased with the Bucks' decision to buy out Damian Lillard for the remainder of his contract. He just didn't like how it was handled, and so I was told that he is not pleased with what transpired with Damian Lillard.
That's Chris Hayes of the NBA Network. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison-based filmmaker Wendy Schneider, who will discuss her screening of the Smart Studio story at the Atwood Music Hall. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we attempted to get to this yesterday, part of our audio sorbet. What is the worst ice cream? That is the question for today's audio sorbet. The worst ice cream. We started talking about it yesterday, and then State Senator Kel DeRoy has called in because she is important, and we were talking about the state budget. So
this is important too, Jane.
It's less important. So we'll be talking about your least favorite ice cream after the 10:30 news and audio sorbet, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Snake on a Plane edition. Yep, it's pretty much what it sounds like.
Yep.
Snake on a Plane edition, Tisbat coming up around 10:51. He joins us on the first Wednesday of every month. The president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is here. Good morning, Darren. Thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me. And I'm doing rather well, just trying not to melt in the humidity outside.
Boy, I can't imagine what it's like working outside when we have dew points in the 60s and 70s. That's just got to be miserable.
If the clouds are out, it's not as bad. But when that sun shines on you, it gets a little unbearable.
So a little steamy.
Yeah. So, Darren, nothing's going on, right? Everything is hunky-dory. There's,
talk recipes.
Yeah, exactly. Ice cream. You love ice cream. You do dairy stuff. But so let's just start right at the state budget with the announcement of the tentative state budget. How is it looking for you? How is it looking for farmers? What are you hearing from your colleagues and from people within the Wisconsin Farmers Union?
Yeah, so certainly happy that the budget's getting passed. There's a bunch of WFU's priorities have been included in the budget, but one big one that did not get is the LFPA program funding or local farmers, local consumer advocates working together to make sure that they consume that product a lot closer to where it's produced versus having to send it, to another state to be processed and come back and then charge for all that transportation in between. And, we were really hoping that that gap would have been able to get those funds in there. It's not. So Senator Path and Senator Jacobson, I believe, or Representative Jacobson, I believe, are working on a bill now going forward to hopefully get some funding for that. As we see, we have a surplus here in the state, and for trying to find $2 to $3 million to keep that program running and keep building it because it's been very successful the 2 years that it was in existence. So, if we can't get the dollars from the federal government, let's have the state do that and keep it working. And there's other states that have participated in that program too, where also in that same boat of trying to get the state governments to continue funding that so that the program continues to grow.
Darren, for people who aren't familiar with it, can you explain that program specifically? I know you mentioned it a little bit, but I'd like to get a little deeper into that.
Yeah, so the LFPA program, Local Foods Purchase Assistance Program, actually pays farmers before they put the produce in the ground. And then when the produce is ready, they provide it to the distributor that then takes it to food pantries, institutions. The tribal elder box has been a big part of that program, too, to make sure that our Native Americans have a program that's getting high quality food into their stomachs, too. So, you know, it's been something that for every dollar that's been spent on it, there's been, I think, $6 and something cent that's really been a benefit to it, looking at what's going on across the state.
And just so I'm correct, this was a federal program and the money is being cut. So you're looking for state funding to keep the program going.
Yes, yes. As part of one of the many President Trump executive orders, the funding for that program was cut and no longer available. Even though the contracts had been signed and everything was ready to go for 2025, it got cut and is no longer available. So I'm looking at what's happened here in the state and really the infrastructure that has been built over the last 2 years. It would make sense that the state government then steps in and funds it. And, you know, it sounds like that's something that the federal government wants states to do with the nutrition program, too. So it's going to be a budget issue for a lot of states, though. You know, Wisconsin, we're in a unique situation because we do have a surplus here. But looking at other states that have this program, probably aren't going to be able to fund it because they don't have the dollars available in their state budgets.
I mean, Darren, there's so many things I can say on this. I mean, you're talking about a program where we're paying farmers to provide food to food pantries to feed people.
Elderly people.
I don't know if you believe in a multiverse, I don't know what earth this is a bad idea personally. But also the fear that I have for you, and I know, and I feel like I'm just being a big old not fun guy today, but we have a $4.3 billion surplus here in the state, and also $2 to $3 million. I'm sorry, but in the terms of budget spending, whether it's state or federal, that is nothing compared to what we spend on so many other things. But we don't see our assembly members and GOP members, those houses controlled by Republicans, wanting to spend any of that surplus money on anything. So it makes me nervous. It almost feels like what they're doing right now is having to make specific legislation that says this will be a project that is funded for one to however many years.
Yeah. You know, and just looking at the, you know, the mentality there too is let's give tax breaks to the taxpayers. Well, the people that this program are supporting, the vast majority of them don't pay taxes because they don't make enough money
right,
to pay taxes.
Right.
And most of them also don't have enough income to really go out and buy those high quality, nutritious foods that they really need to, you know, make them good quality citizens here in the state. So this was something that was going to be a benefit to every community around the state and making sure that high quality food gets into and they become, you know, a more productive citizen that way too. And so giving tax breaks to, you know, mostly people that have dollars that can afford more and taking food away from the ones that can't afford it, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and it almost feels, and this is wildly speculative on my part, but it almost feels, Darren, when our lawmakers do this, they kind of throw farmers out there. It's like, yeah, well, farmers don't want to help, you know, food pantries and things like that. That's not the case. Farmers don't have any problems at all with helping these programs.
Right. We've actually been trying to get some legislation passed over the past many half a dozen years, at least, I suppose, have been working on it so that farmers could actually donate those seconds, the fruits and vegetables that the canneries don't want or grocery stores don't want that have a blemish on them, but the fruits
fine,
fine, the vegetables
yep,
fine.
Yep.
And be able to see some kind of tax incentive to actually donate that. That's been turned down year after year too. So, you know, what's wrong with giving and being able to have some kind of an incentive to make sure that you are being rewarded for what you're doing?
If you're just joining us, Darren Von Rudin is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and he joins us the first Wednesday of every month.
I think that also speaks greatly to Americans who can afford food, looking at a piece of fruit going, oh, it's got a bruise on it. I don't want it, when it's a perfectly good piece of food that someone will happily eat. But I feel like we could talk about that program for an hour. Darren, is there anything else in the state budget that is either making you celebrate a little bit or giving you some pause?
Well, certainly looking at dad caps funding, there's some unfunded mandates there that the dad caps going to have to do. I'm trying to find the dollars for those. Looking at local governments, the unfunded mandates that are there too. They're not as bad this time around from what I'm seeing right now, but certainly any unfunded mandate is not good, because then the state and or local and county officials have to find the funds to make that happen.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to raise your local taxes, which, you know, most local taxpayers aren't happy with where those taxes are at this point. So, yeah. You know, it really causes some friction between the members of your local communities and the local leaders.
Well, and this is a statewide issue. This is for red cities and blue cities and independent cities and everything. When we have the legislature, the lawmakers in Madison who are hanging onto these dollars and won't give them out to anybody, this affects all of us.
Yeah, and certainly looking at the dollars that JFC has, you know, held on to for longer than they should have over the past couple of years, you know, that programs suffered from that. And those programs, some of them died, some of them are still limping along, but, you know, they should be getting that funding, because the governor signed the budget, and for JFC to hold those funds hostage, more or less, you know, isn't the right way to be governing.
And it's, we've talked about that endlessly on this show, and I don't say that people need to remember that. Whether we're talking about clean water, we're talking about rural hospitals, whether we're talking about education. I know they released a $10 million of $50 million, but this money is all being held onto. On top of it, throw that money on top of $4.3 billion of a surplus that is being planned to spend on nothing. I have an idea, Jane and Darren, for a new state constitution. No mandates can come from the state house unless they are fully funded. No unfunded mandates. You cannot punish municipalities when you tell people you have to do these things. Well, how are we going to pay for it? That's
figure
your
problem. Figure it out. No, yeah, figure it out.
You're the one who said it. You're the one
requiring it.
You must make it work, whether it's partnership with the Fed, the state, or local government. But you can't just throw it on. You can't throw it on education when you're saying, well, it's a new reading program, $50 million. You make it work, because you're already buying your own school supplies. So, yeah, I think that's a wonderful constitutional amendment. No unfunded mandates.
I'm curious, too, Darren, you know, when Trump first came in and he froze all of these grants that a lot of farmers had applied for, either for infrastructure improvements or maybe water systems and things like that, what is the status of that? Do we know?
So the vast majority of them have been now cleared and are being funded.
Good.
There still is some across the country that are not doing that. We've in the last week or now, I heard from a lady from Montana that they're not funding anything that says to women or socially disadvantaged. And she's got a program in there, or an application in, that was signed by Secretary Vilsack in the former administration, and should be getting those dollars, because it's a contract that should be viable.
But it's DEI now. Now they won't do it, right? Yeah.
Yep. You know, them DEI farmers, that's a group you can't trust right there. The lady farmers. My God. Really quick question before we go to break for you. We saw a lot of farmers. We saw a lot of people who were being harmed by these pauses and cancellations of contracts. But what we've heard from some people is that now that they're going through, people seem to be like, oh, they're fine. The administration's great. I got paid. Are you seeing that? Or are people still holding on to that trepidation of like, all right, I got my money, but this isn't a good mode of doing business?
Certainly the farmers and businessmen that have been Republicans all their lives it's great. Everything's good.
Right.
The Democrats and the folks that are on the fence, more or less, are We got to remember this because this is not good practice for any government to do.
Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
This Independence Day, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW Talk of Green Bay would like to give thanks and recognize men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom and wish everyone a safe and happy holiday. This message made possible by Dan Reisner and Sons Excavating, serving all your excavating and truck needs with over 40 years experience. Call 920-897-2397 and visit them online today at danreisner.com.
Have you ever wanted to be a big? It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And if you've ever been interested in being a big brother or big sister, enrollment day is here, Tuesday, July 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. In just 2 hours and a few slices of pizza, you'll be walked through an orientation, interview, and background check process where at the end, you could be a big and part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northeast Wisconsin. Register now by going to wgbw.fm and clicking events.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go, always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us on the first Wednesday of every month. The president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is our guest.
Darren, so we were talking earlier about the state budget. Let's move on to the federal budget, which we is not totally 100% passed at this point, but it did last night pass the Senate, tied with the vice president having to cast the final vote.
Right.
Shocking. What are your thoughts on that as well? I'm sure there's plenty in there that, once again, gives you pause.
Yep, you know, lots of concerns. Number one, because part of that process, they're really overstepping on the farm bill process. So a bunch of funds are going to be administered to take care of like crop insurance and, of course, cutting nutrition SNAP program benefits is part of that bill, too. So really looking down the road, the farm bill, what's going to be left of it. Do we need to do a lot of work? Is there anything that we can really do at that point in time? You know, there'd still be some conservation programs that maybe need to be looked at and taken care of under the farm bill. But You know, just looking at the total amount that it's going to cost the American taxpayers over the next 10 years too, you know, for the GOP being so fiscally conservative to pass the federal budget that's going to add 3.1 trillion or 2.9 yeah. trillion, whatever that dollar amount is, to the federal deficit doesn't sound like a very fiscally responsible thing to do. And you know, we were on our phones and emails with Congressman or Senator Johnson, hoping to get him to vote no on it to, you know, make sure it goes back and get some of that fiscally responsible stuff that done that he wanted done. And that didn't happen. So, you know, going forward, you know, can we really trust the people that are saying they're going to do one thing and do the total opposite?
Well, and I think too, and we were talking about this with Dan Schaefer before you joined us, Darren, that it is this rush to get these things through. I don't know why we can't take a pause and take a breath and look at, I'm sorry, all 940 pages of it. Who passes things and you don't read the whole thing? That makes no sense to me. But it's this rush, rush, rush. Ron Johnson said this morning, he, of course, was, I'm not going to vote for this. It's terrible. We're leveraging our children and our grandchildren's future. And then he voted yes for it, of course, because he says he got a guarantee down the road that they're going to look at going back to pre-pandemic spending levels. Oh, okay.
He got the guarantee that they'll look.
Yeah, we'll talk about it maybe in a whatever.
2 weeks. We'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
Right. Everything is in 2 weeks.
And you brought up SNAP benefits, Darren, and I want to just – and I'm going to keep bringing this up until someone gets mad at me, but I don't really care – that sitting Representative Derek Van Orden, which is very hard when we talk about both your names, Derek Van Orden in – public on tape said that SNAP benefits would not go down a nickel. His words, a nickel. And he is voting for a program that is going, he's going to vote for a budget that is going to cut that program and it's going to cut SNAP benefits for people. And I'm just going to say it right now. The moment it goes through, because I don't know what could happen now because it's back in the House.
He could
come out and say something. I don't know. The moment it's voted on and the moment we, liar. He is a liar and a hypocrite.
Yep. And he called me a liar one day in his office on something, on some publicity that I had done, which was actually true. So, you know, yes, you're right on spot there, Greg. You know, he needs to stand up for his true values. Mm-hmm. And if his true values are protecting those most in need in the 3rd Congressional District, the only vote he should have is a no vote on this budget bill.
Yeah, he has a real interesting way of showing his support for the for his constituents. I'm sorry, but he does.
He is and for those who don't know, because we know not everyone, it's not maybe your life, but Derek Van Orden sits on the Ag Committee. He is from the north of Wisconsin. I mean, he lives there. He is the representative. And in that same speech, he talks about growing up as a poor kid relying on what back then would be the equivalent of SNAP benefits, government cheese, food stamps, things of that nature. So he knows that life. He's lived that life, and he is actively turning his back on two groups of people he claims to stand up for.
Well, and let's not forget when there was he had a meltdown during a hearing when he was called out about the cuts to SNAP.
The same thing. It's the same,
yeah. Same thing. I mean, we can put that in the show notes too. If you haven't seen this, I thought he was going to self combust. It was like,
yeah.
And now he's been caught lying.
Yeah.
It was a lie.
Yes. And I want him to stand up. That's the thing is, I don't want America to lose. Darren, I don't want you to lose. I want us to win. And I want Derek, Mr. Van Orden. I'm going to just say that.
DVO is easy.
DVO to really just stand up. And I don't say this often, but be a man about it. Just do it.
Yeah. So, just correct one statement you said there, Greg, too, is he's actually from Southwest Wisconsin. So it's the 3rd Congressional District.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Southwestern Wisconsin, across Stevens Point, Platteville area. So,
I get very, very
they don't want to own him. He's yours. Yeah, You take him. Darren Von Ruden is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and he joins us on the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you so very much, Darren. Try and stay cool out there. Real quickly,
Darren, I know this is a controversial question. You work in the dairy industry, and I don't want to present a conflict of interest or get you in trouble. What is your least favorite ice cream? What's the ice cream you're going to say no thank you to?
Well, I'm not a big fan of pecans. So
there you go.
Maple pecan pie might be the the ice cream I don't like, but every other one is delicious.
There you go.
He has to say that.
He's an expert. He is an expert in dairy.
Exactly. He knows. Thank you so much, dear, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you, Dane and Greg.
Stay with us. News is coming up next when we return. Audio sorbet. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Port of Green Bay gets $20 million in the new biennial budget to complete its expansion project at the mouth of the Fox River. Republican lawmakers Eric Wimberger of Oconto and Representative Ben Franklin of De Pere each released statements touting the funds. The expansion plan for the Port of Green Bay includes building a new dock wall, dredging part of the river to allow ships access to the new site, improving infrastructure, and moving the coal piles to the former Pulliam Power Plant site. Franklin said the improvements will allow the port to accept major shipping for generations and will create opportunities for the businesses and industries of Northeast Wisconsin. When firefighters in Idaho responded to a grass fire Sunday, they were ambushed. Two were killed, and another is in the hospital. One of the firefighters killed in the attack was Nina High School 2001 graduate Frank Harwood. The shooter was later found deceased with a flint fire starter and the weapon used to kill the firefighters. Authorities believe he started the fire on purpose with the intent to ambush the men. The Appleton Fire Department is enhancing its emergency medical services by adding advanced life support services to its toolbox. Recently, the department was certified by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services as a 911 non-transporting paramedic provider. Fire Chief Jeremy Hansen said while Gold Cross Ambulance will still provide emergency transportation services to Appleton, this will allow his paramedics to deliver critical interventions immediately when seconds count. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been lots of royal family drama over the last few years, which eventually culminated in a formal estrangement for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, also known as Harry and Meghan, which sounds a lot less sexy. Head of the not-really-necessary royal outfit, King Charles has made it known that he's going to buck tradition and wants the Sussexes to be front and center at his eventual funeral when the time comes. The New York Post reports that Charles has made it clear he would like his son Harry to walk side by side with his brother William, who will then be king. Charles has also stated that he would like Harry and Meghan and their children, Archie and Lilibet, good lord, they actually want people to dislike them, to take part in the lying in state and candlelight vigil portion of the funeral. There has been no comment yet from the Sussexes. I'm not being lazy. The Duchess and Duke are actually referred to by the county name. As the Squire of Marinet, Wisconsin, I can confirm this. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinet, home of the Logging and Heritage Festival July 12th and 13th on Stevenson Island. More details at fishonmarinet.com.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
Mark your calendars and head to Marinette on July 12th for the 13th annual Logging and Heritage Festival. Located on historic Stevenson Island, there will be free kids activities, food trucks, BMX stunt bike, live music, logging exhibitions, fireworks, and much more. The island opens at noon and the fun doesn't stop until the fireworks are over. It's the Marinette Logging and Heritage Festival on July 13th on Stevenson Island in Marinette. Don't miss it!
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson will join us to discuss breaking news as it continues on the state budget and in Washington. Plus, what's worse, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are taking the show on the road. Matt Nair on Air. Teaming up with Todd Alba to hit the road in a couple of weeks. We are going to be stopping in Oshkosh, in Butternut, and in Hayward on July 16th, 17th, and 18th. We're going to have a preview of the EAA. We're going to learn about the history of Butternut, Wisconsin, which makes me so excited. I'm so happy. And we are to do lumberjacking.
I'll be watching Lumberjacking, and I will not be
you're
doing...
You're going to get recruited. Oh, somebody's going to say, come over here and roll a log.
You and they're going to be like, you know what, sir? We understand. Go back to your seat. It's fine.
Matt Nair on air and Todd Alba hitting the road in a couple weeks. Our road trip editions on July 16th, 17th, and 18th. We will have more details for you as we get a little bit closer. Hopefully, you'll be able to come out and say hello. If you live in the area, we would love to meet you.
Absolutely.
Love to meet you.
Absolutely.
All right. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up a little bit, get away from the news, just so we can all take a collective breath.
And we tried yesterday.
We got started, and then we had an important phone call from Senator Kelda Royce, who joined us. But now we're going to do yesterday's Audio Sorbet. What is the worst ice cream? 855-752-4842. The worst ice cream. Someone offers it to you, says, here, have a scoop of this. And you go, yeah, no, I don't. Mm-mm.
We spoke to Darren Von Ruden in the last segment. Dairy farmer for Wisconsin. I expected him to be very diplomatic and say, you know, I love them all.
They're all good.
He does not like pecan. He's not a fan of pecan.
Not a pecan ice cream.
And honestly, I am not either. It would never be my go-to. Never, ever, ever.
Butter pecan?
Nope.
A good praline butter pecan?
Nope. No, just not my jam. My jam. But, you know, this is my thought. More for you.
That's true.
More ice cream for you.
It's funny that my knife sharpening guy also was anti-pecan.
Jane, we get it. You have a knife sharpening guy. My God, did he do it on your...
It's part of the service. You buy the knives, they sharpen them.
I was hanging out with my knife sharpening guy on my boot.
Well, you know, whatever. We did get some responses yesterday before we had to kind of ditch things. Sarah in Green Bay, listening on WGBW Blue Moon ice cream. It's weird. It reminds me of those blue tablets you put in the toilet. That is not good.
My mouth tastes like a urinal.
Liz from Saukville, anything with flies. I mean raisins in it.
Rum raisins. Yeah.
No rum. No raisins. Same here. Raisins.
Roger and Stevens Point says, I don't care for ice cream with cherries or nuts in it. Yeah. Also, like, pecans, almonds, cashews I'll do because I love cashews. I love a buttery cashew. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, they're just not my thing.
See, and I love them all.
Yeah.
I would go with the pecans and peanuts.
Peanuts belong in everything.
And see, peanuts, I mean, I can do, that's the thing is I'm picky, like, but peanuts, Jane, and did you know actually peanuts are not a nut, they're a legume. Sorry, had to do that. But yeah, it's just, but also if you put out a bowl of nuts in front of me, mm-hmm. I'm not going to eat the almonds or the pecans. I'm going to eat the, I'm going to devour the cashews.
Oh, you're the cashew picker.
I take all the cashews. Yeah, I take all the cashews. I'll take peanuts. I'll take pistachios. Although pistachios and ice cream, I don't know. Thoughts?
I don't know if that I can fairly weigh in on that. I don't know that I've had pistachio ice cream.
Okay, yeah.
We may have to have some.
And also PJ on the, yes.
I think obviously we have to have taste tests.
Maybe on the road we find ourselves a nice local ice cream shop and we just engage in a taste test.
Taste off.
Really quick, PJ on the live stream says mustard ice cream should not be a thing. Absolutely true. Yesterday we qualified. We're going to stay away from the, I would call them ridiculous flavors, like
the real
squid
and spam. Yeah,
we're not talking about those. Malort. Malort doesn't belong in anything, let alone alcohol. But just, yeah, we're sticking to more traditional, like, what can you find at a grocery store?
Yeah.
What is not your jam? For me, the reason why we're talking about this, I want to give the impetus of this and for this conversation is because you saw a picture of Neapolitan ice cream.
That's with the chocolate and the vanilla and the strawberry all in one carton.
And you got very aggressive towards the strawberry portion of the ice cream.
My mother would buy them when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And what would you do?
Everybody would eat the chocolate and vanilla and leave the strawberry. So to me, I'm sorry, this is just my opinion, but Neapolitan ice cream is a lesser ice cream. Well, it just is.
By design, it's triple ice cream, if you think about it. It's three ice creams coming together.
Make up your mind.
Like a Voltron of ice cream. That's a very specific reference for Gen X kids.
Commit to one. Maybe it would actually be good then.
We're getting one. Connie on the text line listening, WAUK, says Babcock Hall's Peanut Butter Madness. Now, is that your least favorite? Because that sounds amazing.
That sounds pretty good.
I will get down with a peanut butter or especially a peanut butter cup. Ice cream?
Oh, yeah. Matt from Germantown listening in on WAUK. Get rid of mint chocolate chip. It's so gross and probably a controversial take.
You know what?
That's what we're here for, Matt.
You know what, Matt?
Those controversial ice cream takes.
Those hot takes on ice cream.
That's right.
I don't think that's a hot take because that's another one where I'm just not going to go for it. It's too many competing flavors. It's too busy. It's too much. I do like John's response. He's listening on WISS. He says, I'll do it. They're all good. Never met an ice cream that didn't end up in my belly. Well, there you go.
I can respect that, John.
Absolutely.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. The earth-shattering audio sorbet question for today. What is the worst ice cream? 855-75-CIVIC. Ollie from the Northwoods has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Ollie. What do you think about this?
Well, I love all ice cream if it's real ice cream. Mm-hmm. The worst ice cream is fake ice cream, actually known as frozen dairy desserts. It takes hours to run through the ice cream section because you have to identify whether it's actually real ice cream or frozen dairy.
Are you talking about ice milk?
No, it is not even ice milk. It is identified on the carton as frozen dairy dessert.
Interesting.
And exactly why. But I know Breyers makes a kind of that, and it's not the same. It is not ice cream.
So, wait, what is it? It's called frozen dairy dessert?
Correct. It's not frozen yogurt. It's not frozen custard. Mm-hmm. It's frozen dairy dessert.
Interesting.
And I think it's a cheaper version, so they don't have to put as much real sugar and real cream in there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's like Kraft cheese food.
I was just thinking of that.
When
yeah.
you have to qualify yeah. it as a food, it always makes you go, what?
Can I have some cheese? Sorry, these are cheese singles. These are American dairy single plucks.
But having to identify it as food yeah. always makes me go, what did you think I was going to think it was something else?
Is that cheese right there? Well, it's food.
It's cheese food. Thank you, Ollie. Yeah, appreciate it.
That doesn't surprise me if they could find a way. Because I was thinking, are we talking about, because there are now a lot of non-dairy options. Ben
sure.
and Jerry has
right.
great non-dairy options for ice cream. But it just, yeah, this sounds like, oh, can we cut out some money here and just make it dairy food?
Well, or I guess, you know, if it doesn't have as much milk fat, it's not going to be quite as fattening, mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of sugar in it. So 855-752-4842, worst ice cream. What is your pick for the worst?
Calvin, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to expand a little bit on the ice cream versus frozen whatever dairy treat.
Sure.
I think it is actually a legal definition by the big ice cream lobby that it has to have a certain fat content to be considered ice cream.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But it's not always a cheapness or a health thing why you wouldn't want to make it an ice cream. It has to do with texture, I think. Like, I think Dairy Queen, technically it isn't ice cream. It technically is frozen dairy dessert.
They call it saucers. Just sounds fancy, and then they tip it upside down in front of you. I'm like, can I just have my Blizzard, please? Do we have to, can we dispense with the dramatics? But yeah, it's, yeah, that, oh, soft serve. Oh, I don't do that. No.
No?
No.
Really?
I'll do a Blizzard because it's tasty. Because once again, I just want peanut butter cups.
It's a delivery system for the peanut butter cups.
It's a conduit to get the Heath bars into my face.
Into your belly. Exactly. 855-752-4842. Worst ice creams. Someone offers you a scoop of this and you go, I can pass. Thank you. Thank you, no. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Jack, you there?
Hello, Jack.
Yeah, good morning. I'm holding a major brand, I will not list the brand, ice cream in my hands. And it says, ingredients, milk, cream, sugar, water, corn syrup, whey, egg solids, guar gum. Yeah, I could go on, but you get the picture. When my son was in Boy Scouts, we made ice cream. We took some real cream, and we took some vanilla flavor, and we took a little bit of sugar, and we mixed them together in a bag, and then set the whole works in a freezing ice mixture with salt, and we got real ice cream. This is what you get for major brand ice cream these days.
It's all these extra. It's all these extra additives, right, Jack?
You got it. Now, I will say one thing. Probably the worst ice cream I've ever tasted was licorice.
Oh, who did that to you,
that's crime.
Mean. Your friend.
They should be fined.
They're not
for
your
that.
Friend. That's terrible. And if it was black licorice, you should sue them. You should be able to sue them.
I think Jack should make his own brand.
I really enjoyed that this went from a fun conversation about ice cream flavors to like ranking on big ice cream.
big ice cream.
I would say like, okay, sorry. I got lost there for a second. Bridget, my wife, she got into ice cream making for a little, just a few months, but she made some amazing ice cream. Very, very simple stuff.
I bet with fruit. Right?
Fruits. She did a chocolate one. She did a mint chocolate chip one as well. But it really does make a difference when you're eating all natural ingredients.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
So good.
Yep. We got a couple more texts coming in. Matt from Richland Center. Anything with chocolate chunks. We need to stop pretending that this is something more than waxy rock hard filler.
Okay, Matt from Richland Center. I'm just going to go ahead and ban you.
He has his opinion.
No, it's a wrong opinion.
Ted from Appleton, cookie dough. Blood.
I quit. You guys are all wrong. You're just wrong.
Lori from Hayward. Jane, I sympathize with you on the meat Neapolitan ice cream. That would be the ice cream my parents always brought home when we got any. I wanted to let you know there is a wonderful ice cream store in Hayward called West Dairy.
Okay.
A great place to stop in for ice cream and shakes. Lori, thank you for the heads up.
Lori, we're going to need a tour of Hayward, and it's going to be ice cream stores and
ice cream specific.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the, heads up there. I would just say this. I'm thinking about living in my home in the 80s, and if my father would have brought home Neapolitan ice cream and he would open it up to just strawberry, that would be the end of ice cream in our house. Because he would say, you don't appreciate the ice cream I buy, then you don't get any ice cream. You can buy your own.
All right.
And I would have bought elephant tracks.
That big waxy chunks of chocolate. All right, that wraps up today's Audio Sorbet. When we return, it is This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Snake on a Plane edition, pretty much like it sounds. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, you can listen global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
as Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As you celebrate Independence Day, Century Companies would like to ask you a favor. When you see a military veteran, thank them for their service to our country and their sacrifices in defending our freedom. Join a team that feels like family. Current Electrical Services is seeking construction electricians. Apply online at currentelectricalservices.com. Better pay, better lifestyle, and excellent benefits. Give your career a jolt. Work at Current Electrical Services, a veteran-owned company.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We will be gone on Friday.
Yep.
Therefore, we have a specially curated show for you.
We're also going to be gone on Monday as well.
Matt Rothschild will be filling in.
Correct.
For us.
Yep. That will be a live show on Monday, but this Friday will be specially curated.
Specially curated, but we will still have the free ticket Friday.
Correct.
This coming Friday. So if you want to pick up that 4-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers, club level seats, be listening on Friday. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. That's how you enter. We will give you a keyword and you text that in and then you're in the running for the tickets. 5 chances to win on Friday. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 9 to 11, mm-hmm. from 6 to 9. Our show from 9 to 11. That's where it is.
Yeah.
Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn 4 to 6. This Friday, free ticket Friday, is happening, even though it's going to be the 4th of July.
And get that Civic Media app in your life because you can listen to shows all over the state. You can listen to stations all over the state, mm-hmm. but you can listen to us all over the world.
Wherever you are.
Exactly.
And we have great music stations, mm-hmm. Civic Media, we have about 25 stations now across the state.
I think so, yeah.
About half our news talk and the other half are music stations. So we have great music stations if you want to take us with you when you're going for a walk or whatever you're doing. It's great. And it's absolutely free.
And also you can text us, you can call us, and you can leave us a voice note.
You can.
Even if you don't like us, you can leave a voice note. But still,
let us know. Let us know we're living rent-free in your head. coming up tomorrow, Jim Santel will be here from Amicus, a law review. Mm-hmm. Former U.S. attorney, also an acting attorney. Lots of things to talk about with Mr. Santel. Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports after 10:30. That is coming up tomorrow. And then we will be off on Friday.
Correct. Yep.
Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from the Associated Press. Rod McGurk with the headline, which reads, Snake on a Plane Delays a Flight in Australia. There is a video element to this. An Australian domestic flight delayed for 2 hours after a stowaway snake was found in the cargo hold. The snake found on board as passengers were boarding this Virgin Australia flight at Melbourne Airport. They were heading to Brisbane. The snake, because again, in Australia, they have the largest concentration of things that can kill you.
Oh, yeah.
It's spiders or ants or snakes or you name it.
Look up Chris Hemsworth and spiders. There's a picture he took a long time ago of this. It's not a spider. It is a full-blown zoo animal that is on his wall. It is. And he's all like, thumbs up. Because that's the thing is, this took place in Australia. Like, if this was America, people would be freaking out. I have to imagine the people in Australia are so used to like, all right, mate, let him run.
Yeah, right, whatever.
It's fine. Give him a seat.
Hey, let's.
I'll buy him a drink.
Let's roast him. Let's make him lunch. The snake did turn out to be a harmless 2-foot-long green tree snake. However, they thought it could be venomous when approaching it in the dark of the hold. It wasn't until after I caught the snake, says the snake catcher, that I realized it wasn't venomous. Up until that point, it looked pretty dangerous. Most of the world's most venomous snakes are native to Australia. Again, just about everything that can kill you is in Australia.
Like Chris Hemsworth.
When Pelly entered the cargo hold, the snake was half hidden behind a panel. It could have disappeared completely somewhere deeper in the plane, like got into the walls or something.
I mean, it's a garden snake.
Well, he didn't know that at the time.
I know, but we're like, it's fine. It's fine. It's a friend. It's friendly.
Snake catcher told the aircraft engineer and airline staff they would have to evacuate it if the snake disappeared inside the plane. You don't want. Can you imagine? You're having your coffee. You're having a glass of wine. You're halfway to Brisbane, and coming out of your seat cushion is a little 2-foot-long snake.
Again, it's Australia. I really feel like they would just be like, "Well, I didn't pay for that."
Well, that's like being at home. Quote: I said to them, "If I don't get this in one shot, it's going to sneak through the panels, and you're going to have to evacuate the plane." Because at that stage, I did not know what kind of snake it was, unquote.
I think this is a funny one.
Australia.
Yeah. But meanwhile, if this was America, it'd be like, we have to throw the plane in the ocean. There was a snake in there. We can't go on. Who knows?
Never going back. Exactly. The snake, a protected species, has now been given to a veterinarian who will find a home with a licensed snake keeper. So he's going to have a happy life now.
I could just do like 20 minutes with an Australian accent on this one. Just seriously. I'll take a snake.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it.
Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. And then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2 coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Sean Diddy Combs found not guilty of sex trafficking and not guilty of racketeering conspiracy. The verdict's a big win for the hip-hop mogul who was convicted of two lesser charges of transportation for prostitution. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more on what the jury had agreed upon.
They really had to make a difficult decision, not just on the racketeering conspiracy, but as the defense said, the women that Combs was accused of trafficking were also his long-term girlfriends, Cassie Ventura with him for 11 years, Jane with him for more than 3 years. And the defense tried to argue that they were consensual relationships.
Aaron Katursky outside the courthouse. Both sides have until 1 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon to write letters to the judge to advocate for and against his release. The judge has not set a time, but says he will decide on that today. This is ABC News.